At IKEA, your dream home is a blue bag away. No matter the size of your space or budget, we've got everything you need to turn your dreams into reality. And now with new lower prices on hundreds of our most popular products, bringing the dream home is even easier. Like the gray Strandom wing chair, was $369, now $299. And the IKEA Plus 365 9-piece cookware set was $129.99, now $89.99. And hundreds more. Shop new lower prices at IKEA-USA.com today.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Kinda Funny Podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside the producer slash seducer, Nick Scarpino.
Greg, I've made myself cold with three Coke Zeros, ice cold Coke Zeros.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
But I still want another one. And this is the bane of my existence. Why can't cold sodas be just a little bit warmer?
Here's what you have to decide right now is, do you want to party doggy dong or do you want to get on the SS? I'm a huge bitch.
All right. Damn.
That's what you got to do. I'm going to tell you right now, take off your headphones and go get an ice cold CZ.
You're absolutely right. I apologize. I'd like to apologize to everyone. Bye.
Thank you. Goodbye. Thank you. Of course, you know him as the Hispanic heartthrob, Texas treat Latino heat, clicking heads and ripping them to shreds, the globetrotting, headshotting, nitro rifle from twitch.tv, Andy Cortez.
Did Nick just say, should cold drinks be warmer?
He was cold drinks were a little warmer. Yeah. Yeah. He did say that. He did say that.
That's a proposition he was making. He was throwing that idea out there into the universe.
But here's the thing. That's an option. You get a small fridge and you don't dial it to like four. You know, you dial it to two.
Exactly, Kevin. But my problem is that all these things are under his control.
Well, now you say that. Is this really under his control or is this under D's control? Because that'd be the problem. He can't go. If he goes in, I feel if he turns the knob, she's got like it set.
He's back. He's back.
Like they're trying to give
fridge.
Nick, they're trying to give you shit. They're trying to give you shit, Nick, as if this is under your control. When in reality, you can't change your fridge settings because your wife won't. Your wife's got stuff going on there. She doesn't want her sodas a little bit warmer.
Oh, here's a fun fact. We have tried to change the fridge settings. For some reason, we can't figure out how to get it from not being 7 degrees in our fridge. We've tried. We've read through the manual. And I like the sodas this cold. The sodas being cold, the sodas themselves aren't the issue. It's the fact that I love a full glass of ice. Now, right here is the ice that I have right here, Tim. This is a sad sack of ice. Uh-huh. This is not full. This is bullshit right here. I like it to be almost overflowing to the point where when you put the soda in, it creates a block of cold. And then midway through, I just can't do anything about it. I start shivering.
What are you gonna do? It's just adding on to the problem. Like, We're making fun of you, Nick, of the fact that like this is under your control. The idea that should cold drinks be warmer is entirely up to you. Yeah. And then you bring in another a little variable into the equation. You said, and here's the thing. I've got this giant thing full of fucking ice, and I'm also waiting for it to go. And then also when I pour the Coke in, I have Mr. Freeze. He's my friend here, lives with me. He blows into it. Like, you're making it worse and worse.
You guys don't understand. Every freaking night, I have two sodas with dinner, and midway through the second soda, my lips turn blue. Greg Miller from Kinda Funny.
I know, Greg. At the office, I feel like I would see you exercise restraint. Mm-hmm. How many sodas are you going through a day nowadays?
He looks at the camera like shit.
While fucking sucking that thing down.
I'm thinking.
Nick, I feel like it was a treat. It was like, oh man, I gotta. It used to say a DC in there. I'm gonna go get a DC.
It was. For a while, I was really trying to wean myself off, but lately I have not tried to do that. So. Sure. This is probably the second one I've had today, actually. Okay. Maybe the third so far. So not too bad. But I did have a cup of coffee earlier this morning, too. So if you're worried about my caffeine intake, don't worry. It's way too
high. Well, it's more the fact you're like, I have two with dinner. And then I thought you had said you'd already had three ice cold CZs today.
Yeah.
Which is a total of five, which is a bit over the two you just tried to play off like you do.
No, I said I had two for dinner. I didn't say I had two all day. I had two with dinner. Is when it's because it's cold in the house at dinner time. Lunchtime, I'm fine. I'm up. I'm moving around. I'm checking emails. I'm standing at my standing desk or whatever. But when it comes to dinner, we sit down on the couch. We start watching Below Deck. I don't have a standing desk. We start watching Below Deck Mediterranean, and I start getting really cold. And it was to the point the other night where I was like, I'm so cold. And by the way, the heat's on. So the heat's hot in here. I'm so cold that you ever be so cold you can't get warm. I was like, yeah. D, I love you. You can keep watching this episode. I'm going to go into the bed right now and put two blankets on me and just huddle up and conserve body warmth. And she was like, are you taking a nap? And I'm like, no, I'm just so cold that I have to, I don't have the power to sit up anymore. I got to lie down now. I don't have the energy.
I was expecting Nick to say, and I also had a coffee before that. But the coffee, you know, I put it in the oven, crank it to 400 degrees. And you know what? Coffee too hot. It's too hot.
It's too hot. Now, what's weird about that is, for some reason, when I have iced coffee, it doesn't make me as cold as soda. I don't know why. I don't know why that is. Maybe it's just because it's not as caffeinated. I have no idea. This is why I miss The Office, right?
Sure.
The Office, we had that balance. You'd go, I just had an ice cold Diet Coke. I'm about to go on the show. I need to perk up a little bit. What's better than popping the Keurig pop, you know, that little capsule into the thing. You get that a little too hot coffee. And of course, by the time you get to the set, it's stone fucking cold anyway. But I need that balance.
It never happened. That was never a problem.
Really? Oh, man. It was always like, but by the time I remembered the coffee was in front of me, it was always a little too cold for my liking.
You would leave it on my desk for 20 minutes.
I would also throw things out in your trash can because I just thought place to put these things.
I find this interesting, and it's something, you know, that my wife has known, but I think she's now, you know, has to see it every day. Mm-hmm. And she's repulsed by it. And it's the fact that I'll drink coffee warm, I'll drink coffee cold. And I sure as shit don't mind room temperature coffee.
Okay.
We have the pot going over there. And, you know, Lucy and Jen act like they drink coffee. They don't need it to survive like I do. You know, I will drink an entire pot by myself. So when we just finished PS I Love You. Great episode. Walked over there and I was like, oh, some coffee. And I poured it in here. And while you're talking, I'm drinking this and it's cold. It's room temperature. It's chilly. It's not cold. It's not iced coffee, but it's still delicious.
I don't know if I'd use the word delicious. Like, I prefer the cold more than anything, but I'll take a hot coffee. And I often do.
Sure.
I actually haven't since the studio. I've probably only had hot coffee like less than a handful of times, but back in the studio days, like,
what is a handful, by the way?
Five.
Is it because of five fingers?
Yeah.
Yeah. And five toes.
So would you say like I had two fingers worth of coffee?
Well, it's like
when you order drinks, you can say, give me like two fingers. Like, for like alcohol, ordering a shot?
Two fingers. Yeah. Shot, two fingers.
What if you have real big hands?
If you're riding what Greg affectionately called to the SS bitch Menno or whatever it was, you can get two fingers. Otherwise, you can join the men and get four fingers and the alcoholics.
Handful, Nick. You could get a handful.
The four fingers. Fuck it. Let's keep it there.
I guess you could do five fingers for alcohol. Yeah, that'd be a whole pint glass, though, maybe, right?
What the fuck were we talking about?
Tim was talking about how he's only had hot coffee for like
a handful of times.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I have also, because as you know, Greg, you hit me up earlier in the pandemic and you said, these kids don't fucking get it. And you sent me a picture of an old school carafe of coffee. Like you got a drip coffee maker. Greg has moved away from the Keurig. He's got an actual old school coffee maker where you actually take out the thing and you get that clinky noise. That's so gratifying.
Carafe. It's a coffee pot. I have a coffee pot.
Coffee pot, basically. Sorry, the coffee pot is a correct terminology for a craft.
He's fancifying it. It works well for me and Nick because we can envision exactly what I have, but like you guys won't understand.
Yeah, he's got the old school like your parents had growing up. You put the Folgers in a cup, you put the Folgers in the thing, it brews it through, and you get the nice big old tank of coffee that you can just sip on all day.
Hell yeah.
I'll do that occasionally at night if I'm like, oh, I'm chilling and I want to get warm. I'll do a decaf pot and then mix that in with my whatever I got going on with caffeinated iced coffee for the next day. So it's kind of half and half.
Now that we're on the topic, of coffee and other beverages, guys, I had a premonition. That's so Raven premonition.
Mm-hmm. Give me your face. Thank you. Can you do the zoom in thing though?
Premonition. Hold on.
Man, you got
I bet if this is on his Twitch channel for a fucking tip, he could do it, you know?
There we go.
It's because I got to animate it, and it's like I can't really animate it. Anyway, I had a premonition, everybody. I had a premonition.
Looks like 28 days later right now.
In the year 2084. Scientists are hard at work, right? They are working hard. They're in their labs. Kevin's there as well. They're all just
Is Kevin a scientist?
Yes, Kevin's a scientist.
Okay.
Is he wearing a white lab coat?
Yes, white lab coat. Got the goggles. Got
Does he
still
have the man bun?
Yes, actually, yeah, it's longer.
Does it say, does everyone else have their last name on their name tag, but Kev's just says Kev?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Cool. It just says K-E-V. And he's working hard with all these other scientists. And they've discovered we have the ability to, we've cloned beverages. You can recreate all these beverages. As long as you have a source of the beverage, you can recreate it. And then you never have to worry about it ever again. We're like, wow, we're going to have infinite amount of beverages until the end of time. This is amazing. But then catastrophe, 3 meteors.
Boof, meteors.
Boof, North America. Or they haven't hit yet. They're on the way, though. So pretend they're on the way. They're flying in. Yeah, exactly.
Just to hear you screaming.
Exactly. Steven Tyler's 144, and he's still rocking it. And the meteors are about to hit, and they're like, guys, we have to leave the planet. This planet is doomed. Luckily, we found other scientists. Kevin's sexy brother has been working on the other planets that we discovered. We're moving
on. Does this just say Spence?
Just Spence.
No, it says Kevin's sexy brother.
Brother Spence. We're moving all of humanity to the other planet. Problem is, though, Kevin's experiments, they couldn't go all the way. So humans are left with...
What the fuck is the story?
Humans are only left with 5 infinite beverages that they can live with for the rest of time.
Okay, yeah. Okay.
What are your 5 beverages that you are going to choose to live with until the end of time?
Do I have to count water?
Yes.
Damn. Bullshit.
Greg Miller, go.
Oh, I'm writing it out. I got to think. Can I think or no?
I'll go with water. Obviously, I'll go ahead, Kevin.
Water, Coke, chocolate, milk. I don't need the other two.
It sounds like a vegan. That's great.
Well, maybe one of these guys want to take your two.
I'll go 5 right now. Ready?
Go ahead.
Coke Zero, Diet Coke, iced coffee, water, and the milk that you get after the cereal is all done, but you just get to drink that milk.
That's good. That's good.
Cereal milk.
Good call.
So yeah. It's got some frosted flake sugar.
Yeah, definitely frosted flakes. Or I'll even go like a frosted raisin bran, you know, where maybe there's a raisin in there too, and you kind of I'll chew on it. Chew on it. That's
okay. Andy,
do you want Kevin's extra beverage?
No. I called him back.
Kevin calls him back.
Old fashions. The espresso chocolate milkshake from the store down the street.
It's so good. That's definitely not. He's not laughing with you this time, Kevin. Kevin. Now, see, Kevin's laughing too, Andy, because Kevin knows how absurd that statement was as well.
But you can choose any drink, right? Is this not within the rules? Is this not within the rules?
Yeah, I have to question how that broke Greg that much, because it doesn't surprise me.
It's just I had to send it to Roger immediately as soon as he said it, because it's just I can see the edit of like the little like list of like what it is, and then it's all these like name brands, and it's just espresso milkshake from the store down the street. Jesus Christ, Kevin, you're amazing. I love you. And that's the thing is like I get it, I understand it. It was just like it was such a very specific list of things, and then it was so specific there. You know what I mean? But also it's still general somehow.
But still
I don't know.
Overly now, vague, just very vague.
I can't like saying milkshake it wouldn't work.
Sure,
it has to be.
Well, see, that was my thing. That's why I wanted to write it down, Andy Cortez from kindoffunny.com.
I'm glad
right?
you wrote it down. What I do want to bring up really, really quick before you start, Greg, is Kevin brings up a good point. Old fashions. Like he's bringing in alcohol as one of these things.
Oh, yeah.
And granted, these things are only for you. Other people can't drink them. They are tied to your DNA. That's how Kevin coded the base thing. And they were going to work on infinite drinks. But again, 3 meteors coming to Earth. So they have to limit it to 5. They only have gotten through 5 so far. Nick, do you want to replace one of yours with an alcoholic beverage?
You know, I don't see this is the problem. I don't have like a standard alcoholic beverage that I think about. I like anything.
I have another question for you, Nick.
Sure.
Can you rename all your 5 right now?
Can I rename all 5 of the ones I just picked?
You're such an asshole, dude.
You're such a fucking asshole.
All right, well, let's go. Let's see. I mean, I've only been on streams for 18 hours today, but it's not a big deal, man. You can throw me a fucking curveball right now. We got top 5 last round. Warzone, no big deal.
Good game.
No big deal. Coke Zero, Diet Coke, water, iced coffee, not hot coffee, because fuck it, if I only need one iced coffee, and the milk that goes at the bottom of cereal after.
Yeah, with a little raisin.
A little raisin. I'm going to throw this out there, though. I'm taking that milk one back. I'm being more specific, because I didn't know we can get more specific about it.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to say Cinnamon Toast Crunch milk. That's what I really want.
It's real solid.
Because I've been craving Cinnamon Toast Crunch. I had like a little cheat meal thing I did last weekend because I've been a little bit more strict with my diet. Last weekend I got pizza from Pachi's Pizza, Greg Miller.
Nice.
And then we got some Ben and Jerry's ice cream afterward, which I'll be honest with you, I feel like it was at the bottom of the on my liquor store's freezer for a little too long. You guys ever do that? Where
you have ice cream and it's like it tastes more like freezer burn than it does actually.
That's what it was.
I should have known better when I opened the freezer up and it was only one layer of ice cream instead of like the 15 layers we have to dig through the bin. It was just one. I'm like, okay, this is a bad sign. I can see all the labels. And then one of them had like been crushed, but was still in there. So it was like bleeding out chocolate ice cream, but had frozen over like a dead body in Alaska, like the thing. And I was like, I'm still going to go for it. So I still got it.
The thing was in Antarctica.
It wasn't in Alaska. I'm thinking 40 days, 40 nights.
Yeah,
that's the one. Yep. Yeah, good movie. Greg, how are you feeling, Greg?
So this is why I didn't, you know, obviously one of the touchstones and hallmarks of this shit, cornerstones, that's what I was looking for. I spun some tires to get there. One of the cornerstones of this is of the Kind of Funny podcast, our podcast, is, you know, the genie and the three wishes. Mm-hmm. We'd make our first two wishes and then the third wish, of course, don't fuck me. Yeah. Don't fuck me. I don't want to.
Don't fuck with me.
I've seen all this shit. I've seen, you know, I don't need a monkey paw. I don't. I just want, you know, I asked for infinite money. I want infinite money without going to jail. And I don't want to fucking murder. You know, I'm not, you know, don't fuck with
me. I don't want it to be Pablo Escobar's money. Yeah.
And so whenever you ask me a question like this of like, you know, the five things that can be tied to my DNA that only I can drink or get or whatever, I don't want to just shoot off at the hip and then have you catch me in a monkey paw situation, right?
I won't.
So I wanted to. You say that now, but I've seen you change it on a dime, right? And you sold me out on this podcast many times with the things you've done to me. So I got specific and unspecific. You know what I mean? So like number one, I put water, right? Water's water. I need water to survive, obviously. So I'm just putting water there. If I got to pick a brand of water, does that matter to you? Am I just getting tap water? Nothing?
It depends on what you want. You know, maybe you want a specific brand. Kevin got specific with the place down the fucking street.
I know. I appreciate that about Kevin. I do. Even though I laugh
at his face about it. I hope someday you guys try this fucking milkshake. It's so good.
I'll do it anytime. You know what I mean? Is it a person's house or a store?
No, it's a restaurant. It's a restaurant.
It's a dude's house.
I'm sorry.
He opens the window.
Tito, would that surprise you?
No, not at all. Because if you remember correctly, Kevin, I think you should just show up to someone's house to have him cut his hair that wasn't even a barber. Remember, like back in the day, it was like his mom's best friend would just cut his hair and maybe oil up his shoulders or something.
That's not true.
I'm sorry, Tim.
Just so you know, it was a, super cuts? Okay. It was a Cost Cutters after that. And then she retired. God rest her soul.
Oh.
She's not dead though, right?
I don't know.
We don't know.
Okay. I don't think so.
Okay. I think she just
retired right before my wedding. So that really hurt me.
I love the idea.
Your wedding was the best haircut you ever had. So
yeah, it was a great haircut.
I showed the picture of Rahul Cooley.
There's a man for the last 10 years who has been having his coffee milkshake being stolen. Like, I don't know where they're going.
Who fucking keeps taking it?
Every morning I pour it and put it on the windowsill. When I go look at my newspaper, it's gone. Kevin floats in like a cartoon to it and just takes it. All right, so water. Obviously, got to put it out there. Number two. I want you to know this is a new entrance on the list. You guys knew me a long time. This is a quarantine Greg thing that we have not talked about. And I know it's rare that you turn over a rock here and find new information about me. But I would put on here mineral water. I've been drinking a lot of sparkling water. I call it my nighttime treat.
I'm sorry. You're going regular water and sparkling water?
That's right. And if you want to, I will go.
You're wasting time.
Such a wasting time. I will tell you, I will go San Pellegrino. I have tried many other brands, and I find San Pellegrino to be my flavor. You know what I mean? That's what it is.
I'm shocked by that. I'm stoked.
Yeah, for the record,
to be here with you on this journey, but San Pellegrino, I don't know.
But here's, to the Topo Chico thing, keep in mind, of course, we're California. It's not at my corner store. When I say I'm picking San Pellegrino, I'm picking it over Perrier. You know what I mean?
Greg, I heard your neighbors buying Topo Chico all the time. Stick your hand in that fucking...
Have you been talking to my neighbors?
Yeah.
Which neighbor's doing it? Is it Mark?
Every one of them. Yeah, Mark.
Wow. And Tim, what are you saying over there now?
I'm just saying, I'm not a San Pellegrino guy. There's something about it, especially once you have Topo Chico. It's just you're the whole premise of this, Greg, is you can have whatever you want. So you can have Topo Chico. You don't need to worry about getting
But here's
it.
The thing is I haven't had a Topo Chico in my new phase of life where I am pro sparkling water.
There's no way you prefer San Pellegrino when you're done.
I'm just letting you know.
I'm calling you out right now.
This is like when you go to France and you fall in love with somebody and you make beautiful love to them and then you go home and you forget about them, all right? Because now you're back in America and they're in France, all right?
Absolutely.
And that's the thing. There's got to be a separation there. Topo Chico might as well be on the fucking moon right now. And I'm not going to sit here and hitch my wagon to it when I know I can pop over and get as many bottles of San Pellegrino as they have at the corner store. So I'm just saying, I am what's around. You know what I mean? It's convenience.
What have you done for me lately? And what will you do for me forever, given this
pitch? Exactly. Yeah. Topo Chico's great. I'm not taking away from it. I did like it quite a bit when we had it, but I wasn't in the mood to drink it nonstop. Now it's my nightly treat, some San Pellegrino. You know what I mean? Other one I put on there, of course, coffee. Mm-hmm. And we need coffee on there. Mm-hmm. And then if we're getting specific, of course, I'm picking Busan. I'm getting the Busan coffees. Everybody knows they make me wild.
Default coffee to be Busan.
Well, remember, Kevin, I will have you know, of course, that I am trying to catch the genie in this. You know what I mean? Because I'm not saying I want the canned Busans. Remember, they sell the beans of the Busan over there, too, that I can make them the drip coffee.
Correct. There's no fucking genie.
Listen, you say that now. 14 years from now, some genie from France pops up over here. She's like, you know what? You fell in love with me in this scenario, and now I got all these fucking Busan cans for you. And I'm like, I didn't say that.
It's not like the creator Busan's going to suddenly turn out to be this like Hitler-loving Nazi. You're like, damn, I picked the fucking wrong coffee. Now I'm drinking this coffee from this awful person. There's nothing like that, Greg.
Number four, I would pick beer. If I need to get specific for the genie listening, I would pick Sierra Nevada, a hazy IPA.
Really?
You know what I mean? That's a delicious IPA.
That's two. Those are delicious two. Hazy IPA. It's two different things. So,
what is it? No, they have the Sierra Nevada has a hazy IPA.
Oh, yeah, I apologize. I'm sorry. I thought you said and.
Yeah,
a hazy
I thought
IPA.
So too.
Oh, no. Yeah.
I'm sorry. Nick,
do you not love Racer 5?
I love Racer 5, yeah. Okay. I love Pliny the Elder too.
That's the coolest pop punk band that ever existed.
It's rare to get, you know? So.
What was that? Sorry, Kevin, you went distorted on my end.
Sorry, you said I love Pliny the Elder, and I was like, well, it's rare to get, so can't put it on the
list.
Not
that much anymore. Whole Foods seems to actually have an unstocking.
No, it was a joke. I was like kind of mocking you for your like weird choices and stuff, you know? Because you won't pick Topo Chico because it's rare?
Pliny the Elder's not rare. I can walk over to the store and get it.
All right.
It's rare to him, Kevin.
Topo Chico is not rare either. Greg, I'm sure that he can go to one of the two Mexican shops or Mexican restaurants like near his house and find it.
Yep.
So I'm going to walk into a Mexican restaurant.
Yes.
And say, he'll be like, all right, what would you like? Would you like a quesadilla? Would you like a quesadilla?
No,
would you like a burrito?
And
I'm going to say, I'd like 17 Topo Chicos, please.
Just get
like,
one Topo Chico.
Quesadilla? Like, what's a genie going to say? I don't know. Yeah, what the
fuck? Also, and like, just be honest with yourself. Quesadilla isn't going to make you feel better at any point in your life?
Yeah, you know? Think about that, Greg.
Every point in your life.
Kevin, I was reading I was reading an article about a Chinese restaurant in Montreal that got like went viral because the guy's menu was amazing, and they have kind of like a pancake looking thing that looks like a quesadilla, and I thought I would like a quesadilla right now, and I also want to go to Montreal. I miss traveling so fucking much. I can't even explain it.
It's a great anecdote, Nick.
Thanks.
And number five, bourbon, and I put Knob Creek bourbon on there. Huh? With which I could make a old fashioned, right? Is that against the rules, Genie Andy, who says there is no genie, but clearly there is?
Andy, why are you such a fucking just genie?
Just genie.
I was gonna say, why are you such a shill for Big Genie, but it didn't come out. So you just got just genie, like just dance.
No, you're totally fine with that, Greg. That's a great.
So there you go, Kevin. I got selection. You.
He can't make an old fashioned. He doesn't have the rest of the ingredients.
Kevin, it's not the ingredients. It's just it's a
where's
dispenser.
The simple
it's
syrup? Just, you know what I mean? Where's the simple?
It just
syrup?
Pops out. It pops out super.
It's
solid.
It's in the fridge.
Simple syrup's not a drink.
Yeah, he didn't say liquids. He said drinks.
Yeah, it's the perfect concoction.
I mean, guess what? By your rules, Kevin, guess what? You're dead because you didn't say blood. So I don't even know what we're talking about.
That doesn't make any sense at all. I'm not drinking.
You're sitting there like,
anymore.
You're sitting there like a giant prune. All right, just sitting there dead.
Tim, how are you feeling?
I've been trying to think about it because I want to be specific about this. I am playing Genie games. I want to know exactly what I'm getting here. All right.
I ain't playing no Genie games.
I ain't playing no Genie games. Number one, Topo Chico. We need it. That's my replacement for water. Topo period. Chico.
Now you're going to the non-lime one.
Yeah. And there's a reason for that, right?
Because you got limes, right? Everywhere.
I only got five here, right? I'm going to start from the obvious one for me, which is the Starbucks Trenta iced coffee specifically. I want it delivered to me in that size, if that would be possible, Andy. Okay.
Okay. Yeah.
That's going to be my coffee.
I mean, that's totally up to Kevin. He's the engineer.
So then I'm looking at the other four choices here, and I'm like, all right, I want to make sure that I'm representing everything that I need in my life. So I need some type of like base thing. And when I go between base LaCroix, the pure, or Topo Chico, it's clearly Topo Chico. So that's where I'm going there. When you start getting the lime and all that stuff, that's when we're getting a little more crazy. I want a little bit more consistency. So I need to decide, do I want the lime LaCroix or the orange LaCroix? Because those are the ones that I put in the, like, this is based with just like, because the orange and lime aren't really like crazy flavors. You know what I mean? They're more just kind of like,
yeah,
additive. But then there's the crazier ones that I call the more dessert LaCroix with like a peach pear or a passion fruit. So I need to make some tough choices there. So if I had to right now, I would say I would go lime and I would go passion fruit. For those LaCroix.
You're going an all LaCroix sparkling lineup.
Well, at Topo Chico.
No Coke.
Your whole starting five is a bunch of shooting guards.
Wrong. This is wrong.
No, it's not. It's not. Look, so we got Topo Chico. You're not, which is just like the base.
A sparkling seltzer water.
Base water, right? Then we got the lime LaCroix.
Topo Chico's not a base water. It has sodium in it.
Well, I know, but just like a base, like it is just what it is. Like it's okay. Not about the flavor. It's about like that is just drink, whatever. Whereas like lime LaCroix can go with anything. So I'm fine with that. I'm good. I'm covered. Then we got the passion fruit, which is the more desserty one. Down for that, of course. Iced coffee, Starbucks, Trenta. Need that in my veins as much as possible. Then that last one that I have is some form of alcohol. And I'm trying to figure out what is best. And I think I would have to end up going with some form of tequila because then I can mix the tequila with the fun LaCroix.
That's good. You know, that's smart.
I just don't have a tequila brand that I'm loyal to, so I'm open to suggestions.
The Rocks.
Haven't had it yet.
Come on by and I'll spit it out my mouth out the window into your face.
Okay, cool. I can definitely do that.
But yeah. That sounds like a fun time.
That's actually how COVID gets transmitted.
I won't be breathing. I can't be close to him.
Right. You won't get COVID.
Exactly.
Yeah. But I feel good about it because this plan, as I've been trying to cut back on drinking, and I think that would help me. Because
if all you had was LaCroix and tequila.
And tequila. You know what I mean? I'm not going to be like down in a shit ton of tequila.
Well, you've been you've been drinking a lot of alcohol recently, Tim?
Which is the gen of my life. Yeah. So I'm trying not to. I'm like, I was talking about this like last week, where it's like, if I'm going to be trying to run and do all this shit, it's like, I need to like think about my entire life, not just parts of it.
But like you say, you've been cutting back. I don't know. That seems like you've been drinking every night or something.
Well, I mean, I drink a lot, but now I'm trying to not drink a lot.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah.
He's an alcoholic.
He's an alcoholic. Okay.
Everyone's a goddamn alcoholic. There's a pandemic happening. Yeah, I'm drinking more than I ever have.
Yeah, I feel like it goes in cycles. When it first started and it was like, this is so quirky and weird. It was having wine and cooking meals and doing all this stuff like every night. And then I was like, whoa, this is, you know, we went a little hard there. We should pump the brakes.
This is heavy.
And then I was like, man, this is still going on. Let's drink a bit. What do you see? You know, it's like this, you know, you keep coming back around.
It's just the norm. Yeah.
Let alone now it's the new year and you're coming out of that.
You're comparing it to like when your power goes out because of a storm, you're like, fuck it, let's just get drunk. You know,
exactly.
It's something silly and crazy. I'm going to go with water as my base.
Sure, of course.
I'm going to
blood. Don't forget blood. Otherwise, you know, Kevin, I'm going to
specifically go with Ozarka.
Kevin's not the one being specific about the genie.
What's it called? I'm not Ozark? Purified.
Bottle?
Dasani?
Not purified, but
distilled?
Distilled?
Yeah,
mineral?
I guess so.
You want distilled mineral water? Mineral.
Aston Kutcher Punk'd.
Distilled doesn't taste good, right? It takes
I can't believe. No, I can't believe how much you guys are into mineral water. I think this stuff tastes like shit.
No, yeah, it tastes gross.
Ozark is my favorite like brand of water. That's my favorite. If I'm gonna buy a bottle of water, it's that brand. I don't know why. I just like the way it tastes. Ozark or Ozarka?
I've never heard of this before.
I've never heard of that brand.
Ozark. Wait. I've heard of Ozark.
It's Ozark.
Ozark.
Kevin loves the Ozarks.
Oh,
Ozarks. You guys watch Ozarks?
Is this seriously not a weird way?
Ozarka. I guess is the name. I googled it. No.
Never heard of this before.
Wait. This is like a
Ozarka mineral water.
Is it a Texas thing only? Holy shit.
It must be.
No, proudly no Texan.
Because here we have, we're Aquafina people out here. If you're going to go water, you got to go Smart Water or Aquafina. Those smart are my water. Teams.
No, Aquafina. Aquafina, I'm not a huge fan. Not a fan of Aquafina. Anyway, yeah, purified water also not great for your teeth, apparently. You need some sort of...
Well, they don't put the fluoride in it.
You need a rougher kind of water to kind of get through your teeth, Andy? And stuff. Yeah, that's it. Yeah, weird. I could have sworn there was another red-looking brand like that I bought up here in San Francisco.
No? Well, yeah, Arrowhead. Arrowhead
looks
like
a lot
that.
Like that, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, really? Weird. Okay.
Arrowhead is like the opposite of this list for me. Like, if I could just ban one drink in the world, it'd be...
Oh,
all
right. Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, I'm going with Ozarka for my standard water. Go ahead, Nick.
I was going to say, the thing about waters that we need to just decide on right now is there's two different kinds of purified bottled waters. There's the kind that come in bottles that you can actually hold, and when you put them on a desk, they don't fold over and collapse. And then there's that bullshit that Arrowhead Water ships their stuff in, where the plastic is so thin, and I get it. I know what you're going to say, chat. Oh, niggas, for recyclable purposes. Damn the porpoises. Damn them, okay? Because when I pick up the bottle of water and it crumbles in my hand and just water gets everywhere, then it's not a bottle of water. It's just water waiting to spill.
Actually, you know what? Scratch the Ozarka. Kevin, tell your engineers that I want the water to taste like the water that goes through my Brita filter.
Okay, that's doable. That's doable.
I like that water a lot.
Yeah, because we can replicate any of it, Andy.
Yeah, exactly. You guys are very smart up there working in North Manhattan. Northern Manhattan is where the labs are.
The Northern Manhattan Project, of course.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, so I'm going with that type of water as my baseline, right? Coke Zero. I'll go with Coke Cherry Zero as the kind of the standard everyday soda to go for with my meals. I do like the idea. I do like Tim adding the alcohol. I do like having the idea of having just tequila to mix with something else. But I'm just going to go with, because I'm thinking, like, I love my fizzy drinks. Do I want to go with a White Claw? Go ahead, Greg Miller.
Take a knee and think about it. Nick Scarpino, kind of funny. What do you guys say?
Andy, if you bring the Cherry Coke Zero, you can take regular Coke Zero off your list. We'll just swap. We'll just share.
Tradesies.
You can't. Tracy's. You said there was no trade.
I already said there's no trade.
Yeah, I thought it was your DNA. Remember, the genie said it was inside your DNA.
Oh, fucking genie. No,
they're not genies.
If you drink something that's not tied to your DNA, then Kevin gets your blood.
You die, yeah.
But it's just, I don't understand. So,
Kevin
Andy,
gets your blood.
You could just say Coke Zero and then get cherry juice from somewhere else and put it in there, right? Some grenadine?
No, that's not good.
You but know that's that. Exactly Kevin what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying with Greg.
Kevin, it's like adding... Kevin, it's like adding... Mm. No. You couldn't just get it from anywhere. You would have to make that one of your drinks. You would have to make cherry juice
But that's what I'm saying.
And
how is it...
Who the fuck does that?
I hate you guys.
Greg is cracking up. Here's the thing. I don't want that,
like,
Kevin.
If he chose bourbon, he has to...
Kevin, I don't
Kevin,
want that.
Get one, all right? I got through the genie because I thought it.
No, you didn't. You were wrong. You're drinking straight bourbon.
In a Tom and Jerry movie. All right.
So good.
Kevin, I'm thinking of the stupid remix stations at the movie theater.
Right. Fuck, those are the only ones that light up for you, right?
I don't want to add cherry flavoring to a soda. Sure. That's awful. So I'm going to go with Cherry Coke Zero as my second everyday drink. I love my energy drinks, right? Or just super highly caffeinated drinks. I don't want to go with something too sugary. Go ahead, Greg Miller.
How much soda are you drinking? And I say soda, but I also include energy drinks. Like, what are you on a daily basis, Andy Cortez? How many cans of something are you drinking? And verify, what I'm saying. And
one to
bottled.
Two.
Okay.
One to two. Yeah. Usually one, because I'm drinking from this water a lot. I'm always refilling.
Yeah, I do see you drinking that water.
I will. I'll go with like one to two.
Okay.
But I don't want to go super sugary, right? I want to go with a sugar-free one. So immediately I'm thinking of the Monster Zeros, right? And I think I want to go with the Monster Green one, the Paradise one, because, again, green's the best-tasting flavor. So I'll go with that one as sort of my go-to energy drink. And then I got two other spots left. I got two spots left, and I'm thinking maybe I go with Moscow Mule as one of them.
Oh.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
My favorite Andy is a Moscow Mule up Andy.
Yeah, it's rare. The best. It's the best time. It's very rare. But here's the thing. I'm also at that
vodka?
Point where
you can get all the ingredients afterwards.
You can't, Kevin. Not in this society. Not on these planets where.
Then how did he get old fashions from the bourbon that he picked? I don't understand.
Wait.
Simple syrup is not a drink. A ginger beer is a drink.
Is a drink.
Yeah. It's just all one mixture, Kevin. It's all one mixture. Okay, so I
don't think Andy's understanding what Greg picked, and I don't like it. I don't like it.
Greg just picked old fashioned, right?
No, he picked bourbon.
I picked bourbon. And then I said, Kevin, I can make an old fashioned. And then Kevin tried to fight me, and we said, and Tim was with me and said, no, simple syrup isn't a drink.
You can't do that.
Thank
Kevin,
you.
You're right.
Finally, the judge hears. Kevin, thank you.
Kevin.
Fuck you. The genie got you, you bitch. Fuck
Kevin, you're
you.
Right. You're right. Because here's the thing. You can only mix that bourbon with the other four choices that you have.
But why?
Bourbon and diet. That
because
doesn't make sense.
Because in this new society that Kevin's sexy brother's been building out, they don't have all these other drinks. It's
now,
five.
It's not a drink. Simple sugar syrup is not a drink.
Yes, it is. You can drink it. Fucking, you can drink
it. No, that doesn't make it a drink. No.
Here's the thing. Here's the thing, ladies and gentlemen, I might just be a small town pizza lawyer, but as we all know, anybody with a brain and not a big old pile of stupidity between their ears knows simple syrup is just water and sugar. So
okay, what
I'm
about the Augustine's bitters?
Water.
What about the
water
bitters?
Is one of mine. Huh? You know what I'll do? I'll walk over to your prudy fucking body and get a couple tears off your goddamn face and put them in there. It'll be nice and bitter because you fucking lost, you California racist.
Here's the thing. Why does the genie always fuck people over? Because they're trying to fuck him over. Infinite money, infinite wishes. You tried to fuck the genie, and guess what? The genie's going to fuck you.
I'm respecting the genie and playing this out. And then Andy said, no, there is no genie, at which point he approved the simple syrup. You can rewind
fire.
The episode. You can rewind the episode. Andy approved
with fire.
It.
I'm doing my sugar and liquid along with my water, which I already have.
I'm asking for Andy's attention. Thank you.
Go ahead, Kevin.
If green is the best liquid tasting flavor.
Yeah,
best tasting flavor. What's the worst tasting flavors?
Best tasting color is what I meant to say.
Yeah. Best tasting worst tasting color.
Worst
is it yellow?
Color?
Is it yellow?
Great question.
Think about it. Could be yellow.
What about light pink?
What?
You get out of here. Light pink is so good.
Because light pink, my brain immediately goes to cherry 7-Up.
There you go.
Which is so good. Such a good fucking soda, dude. Worst tasting color, brown.
I don't know.
Remember,
though.
That's brown, all your coffees. That's
beer,
all your coffees.
Brown,
brown
makes
I guess
me
brown
think
is every
beer,
soda.
It makes me
yeah.
think chocolate. It makes me
Coke.
Think coffee. Those
I'm
are all
telling
good
you, it's
things.
Yellows.
Yeah, but I think of what it represents.
Pineapple.
To me, it's like it looks like mud, you know? Like, that's. I think of what it represents. What it represents, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It feels good in my hands to do that. It feels good. If you're not a listener, watch the video. At 45 minutes in, and I do this with my hand. It feels real good to stretch those.
It looks 37, 38-ish.
So I still need another spot, man.
Right,
I'm having trouble here. I'm still having trouble here. You know what? I say I'm knocking out Moscow Mules, Tim. And I'm just going to go with tequila so that I can mix it with any of the other drinks. Because I'm following the rules. I don't want the genie to fuck me over.
Mm-hmm.
So that means I have one drink left. I have one drink left. And you know what? I'm going to go with... I want some sort of juice.
Orange
and
juice.
And I'm thinking...
Pineapple
like
juice?
I'm thinking like an orange pineapple, Nick.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like a lot of... I want a lot of pulp in there. Maybe I could put some tequila in there. Have a little peyote sunrise drink. Alcoholic Ooh. Drink. You know what I
mean?
I get you.
Okay. I like where your head's at right now.
I want a juice. I like juice. Do you like juice, Greg?
No, I can do without it.
I would have guessed that. I've never seen you with a juice.
Yeah. I keep it pretty simple. You know? Coffee, water. Maybe some sparkling water these days. Beer or bourbon.
Too, Kevin just slacked me. He's like, Tim, don't walk away from Coke. I've walked away from Coke years ago. I can't believe it.
That's crazy. Yeah. So, Tim, how do you feel about LeBron James siding with Pepsi? LeBron James loves Coke. He's with Pepsi.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Jesus.
He's no longer a Coke Sprite guy.
I don't know if I can watch Space
That's
Jam
wild.
Legacy anymore.
Because apparently,
Nick,
he and some other people are going in on some Pepsi-based athlete energy sort of beverage.
Stupid.
It's probably
going to
be some new Mountain
Stupid.
Dew.
Sounds dumb, Nick. Or
venture.
Kevin, you're right.
Go ahead, Nick Scarpino.
I'm going to take off my last one. Because I don't really need the cereal
milk.
That's just a fun one I threw in there. Yeah. It's a stupid choice. And I'm going to use that spot to eliminate mineral water in all the rest of your spots. On this new planet, no one will have ever fucking heard of mineral water. And if you see something with bubbles in it, it better be a Coke Zero. I'm using it to take away a drink from everyone else.
Don't you like Topo Chico?
No, not really. Not particularly.
Why do you want people to be less happy?
Because I just feel like this, I can't put my finger on it, but I just feel like mineral water is Satan. No, I think it's the devil.
It's Nick not being a part of something. No, guys, want other people to enjoy right. It.
It's salty water, and like, that's not good for you. Read a book. Don't drink sea salt. Seawater. That's what I meant to say.
It's so good, dude.
I hate it.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the juice, orange pineapple. That's my fourth and final. And also, you get the vitamin C, you know? I want some sort of nutrients. Maybe I can mix.
And speaking of our fourth and final, he's rounding out the quartet. He's Forbes 30 under 30, a.k.a. the second best baby blues in San Francisco, a.k.a. the hat-wearing motherfucker, Tim Geddes.
Damn. It's very, very cold, as Nick was saying earlier, but it's true.
How many iced coffees have you had?
Well, just one today. I only ever have one.
How many ice-cold Coke Z's have you had on top of giant piles of ice?
Coke Z, zero. LaCroix today, I've had six. I have had six. And the day is young, my friends. But I do have a quick story I want to tell about a mistake that was made that caused me great strife today. I had to order some lunch. Me and G running out of time. She wasn't able to make stuff today. She's like, cool, let's just order something. And I was like,
squat and gobble.
You want some dinner? No, not squat and gobble. That wasn't the conversation a couple days ago. Not today. Today, it was like, it's a dim sum day, baby. Let's do it. And I've been all about these dumps recently, realizing that I can order dumps to my house. That was never an option I thought about before. But now in the pandemic, it's like, oh, I guess that is something that is available to me. So the problem, and I brought this up on the show at some point, but there are 10 bazillion dumpling places in San Francisco.
Yes.
So it's impossible to remember what the name of the place you actually like is, because literally within a two block radius, there will be Dumpling Kingdom, Kingdom of Dumpling, and the Dumpling King. And you're like, fuck if I know.
Yeah.
But today I faced a problem that I never thought I would face, which is we order the dumplings from, it didn't matter which one, right? It was like, at this point, let's just get some. Cool. Wait, I see the DoorDash guy come in on the little map or whatever. It says, oh, it's approaching with your order. And I'm like, fuck yeah. Get a phone call. They're like, hey, what do you want me to do with the dumplings? And I'm just like, oh, just leave. The thing says, like, it's all good. He's like, are you sure? I'm like, yeah, definitely.
Oh, no. I don't like where this story is going.
He's like, so you want me to drop them off at Dumpling Kitchen? And I'm like, wait, sorry, what? No. Like, do you want me to drop the dumplings off at the Dumpling Kitchen? And I was like, no, I don't. Like, are you at? And I said my address. And he's like, I think so. And I was like, okay.
I don't think so.
Interesting. Didn't speak the best English. So I was already like kind of those layers of like communication issues going on.
Sure.
To cut to the chase here, what ended up happening is somehow when me and Gia ordered this, when we were looking at the different dumpling places, I was looking on my phone downstairs.
That's so funny.
She was looking at her phone upstairs. And that must have at some point clicked so that the delivery place was a different dumpling place than the order place.
Great.
So they just they picked up dumplings from like Dumpling Kitchen and brought it to Kitchen of Dumplings.
Wow.
And the guy couldn't explain that. He was trying to explain. He's like, are you sure you want this? And I'm like, no, I'm not. Can you try to help me explain, like, understand what's going on? And like, after a lot of back and forth, eventually I got the dumplings. Totally wrong order. I don't understand what the fuck happened there.
Sir, do you know what you're about to
do? Got some good dumplings. But yeah, it was definitely one of those things where he thought I was fucking with him. And it got to the point where I'm like, I'm just frustrated I don't have my dumplings. Like,
right. I just want the dumps.
Why would I do this on purpose of ordering dumplings from one place to another dumpling place?
Nick is so excited you're calling them dumps now.
They're dumps. It's a great way to refer to them. And it makes me happy because I haven't had a dumpling in a really long time, but you know, I'm down. I'm always down for dumps. It's one of those where you order them, and I order that bullshit. I order sometimes where it's just like, just get me the teriyaki skewers or whatever. And I'll just sauce on the side. And then I see 15 extra dumps, and I wait for you all to leave the room like I'm playing Hitman. And then I fucking strangle one of them. from the fucking crowd and shove it into my mouth as fast as humanly possible.
And he doesn't know this. I'm watching and he looks over at me and he's like, fuck, do you want one? I'm like, yeah, I'll take one too.
Yeah, I do want one.
It's like Nick just has been saying dumps his whole life now. He's just immediately in it. I love it.
I just love the dump life.
You gotta pick up the trend and just roll with it. It's
dump
great.
Life.
And now a word from our sponsors.
No, you're not yet. If you didn't know, this is the Kind of Funny podcast. Each and every week, four, sometimes five, best friends gather on these microphones, each coming to bullshit with each other and you. If you like that, you can head over to patreon.com/kindoffunny, where, of course, you can be part of the show. You can get the show ad-free. You can watch it live as we record it, just like Madeline is, just like Jameson is, just like Tyler is, just like Devin is. And, of course, you can get the show with the exclusive post show we do each and every episode. Remember, there are now two episodes of the Kind of Funny podcast each and every week. If you don't want to support us and our guest over on patreon.com/kindoffunny, no big deal. You can get it on youtube.com/kindoffunny, roosterteeth.com, and podcast services around the globe twice a week for your listening enjoyment. A little bit of housekeeping for you. Thank you to our Patreon producers, Kieran O'Donnell, Steve Powers, Julian the Gluten-Free Gamer, Alexander Noxel, Bill I Am. A programming note for you. Of course, January is our 6th year anniversary. It's Kind of Funny. And guess what? This Saturday, it would have been helpful to have the date in front of me. This Saturday, the 30th, we're doing our second 12-hour live stream on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames, celebrating our 6th year. Of course, we always ask you guys to go to Patreon, to now go to Twitch to help us fund the upcoming year of programming on the thermometer. And the first part there of this month, we hit the thing on our first 12-hour stream to do another 12-hour stream. So that's what we're doing Saturday. Nick is very excited. I hear he has a one-man band planned.
A one-man band planned?
Yeah. That's what you're going to do for some of the stream.
You want me just to get out the old bass drum?
Triangle, the trumpet. Hit the triangle.
And get ding, some, ding. I have the trumpet here if you guys want me to play it for you real quick.
Right now. I want you to fucking play something on that trumpet right now, motherfucker.
Do it, you fucking coward.
Do it. I can keep doing the rigmarole. Just get it out and clear out the spit trap and get ready for Mr. Holland's opus. You know what I mean? Anyways, Saturday the 30th, twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. We will be live from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. Pacific time. Come hang out with us. Today, we're brought to you by Scott Pilgrim vs. the World, the game, complete edition. But I will tell you about that in just 1 second. In fact, Andy Cortez, why don't I tell you about it right now? This episode of the Kind of Funny podcast is brought to you by Scott Pilgrim vs. the World, the game complete edition. The physical limited run games pre-orders for Scott Pilgrim vs. the World, the game complete edition are now available. Get the game in standard, classic, or the KO editions on Nintendo Switch and PlayStation 4 now. Each edition is full of goodies. Standard editions include commemorative Clash at Demon Head tickets. Classic editions feature a deluxe clamshell retro box with an alternative Ramona cover, CD soundtrack, folded overworld map, and sticker sheet. And the tricked out KO editions include everything from the classic edition, an authentic hard shell roadie case box with a pop-up band scene that includes working stage lights and an I know this band. I've seen them live.
Sound it out, Craig. Sound it out.
Anamanaguchi music. Oh, I got there, Kevin. Oh, I got there. All editions of the game plus some exclusive merch are available during a special 6-week open pre-order closing. Are available during a special 6-week open. Pre-orders are closing February 28th. Be sure to pick these items up before then, because once pre-orders close, you won't be able to purchase these collectibles again. Head to limitedrungames.com/Scott. That's limitedrungames.com/Scott to pre-order your game today. limitedrungames.com/Scott. And I'm going to try it one more time, Kevin. I'm going to swing for the fences. Anamanaguchi. Nailed it. Got it. All right, we now join Nick in progress. Here he is. He's doing it. Seems like he's going to hurt. He's doing it. He's getting it.
Here we go.
You boo!
Coward.
Boo! All that for that, boo.
That was such a Nick move.
It
I
also
swear.
Didn't help that it took him like at least an hour to get up and go get it. Like it was the slowest maneuver.
I liked it. That was part of the comedy about it. That was definitely part of the comedy about it. We turn our eyes, ladies and gentlemen, to a young lad named Grant Burton, who is written into patreon.com/kindafunny and says, "We might be getting a Harry Potter TV show. So what would you want from a Harry Potter TV show? A new story, another adaptation of the books, etc. For those not in the know, I'm going to read from the Hollywood Reporter, where Leslie Goldberg writes, Harry Potter live action TV series in early development at HBO Max. Exclusive. Sources tell the Hollywood Reporter that executives have had a series of meetings with writers with the goal of bringing the blockbuster franchise to television. A Harry Potter live-action TV series is in early development at HBO Max. Sources tell the Hollywood Reporter that executives at the Warner Media-backed streamer have engaged in multiple conversations with potential writers exploring various ideas that would bring the beloved property to television. Sources say broad ideas have been discussed as part of the early stage exploratory meetings. While it's news that executives at HBO Max and Warner's are engaged in meetings to find a writer and pitch for the Harry Potter TV series, no writers or talent are currently attached as the conversations are still extremely early stages and no deals have been made. Quote, there are no Harry Potter series in development at the studio or the streaming platform, HBO and Warner Brothers reaffirmed in a statement to TRH. Expanding of the world of Harry Potter remains a top top priority. Yeah, you know what I mean. Harry Potter remains a top priority for HBO. God, I fucking hate it when you're reading the thing and the ads keep resizing and then fucking up the paragraphs. And I'm like, where the fuck was I? What are you doing
it's
over
really
here? Hollywood Reporter,
page.
Sort it out. I'll give you the goddamn money. Anyways, basically what I've been saying, there is top priority, blah, 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 blah. So, Nicholas Scarpino, you're a huge Harry Potter fan. Always have been. I'll start with you. We might be, if Grant Burton starts with you. What would you want from a Harry Potter TV show?
Two things. One, we did a trailer a long time ago when we were at IGN. I believe Tim helped out with it.
Orders.
Alfredo was in it. I want them to do an Aurors show. I want them to do a show. And my second stipulation on that is that it cannot and will not be a fucking prequel. I do not want prequels anymore. The Harry Potter universe, I love it. It's so dense. How about we just don't do prequels anymore and we just move forward and past Harry? What I would love to see is Harry, like recast the crew and have them be Aurors. They're never going to do that, of course. And Daniel Radcliffe's probably not going to come back to reprise the role, nor whatever anyone else. So
this
let's
your
do
world,
a group
Nick.
Of Aurors.
You can make that if you want, though. Is that what you want?
Oh my God, if it were my role, then yeah, I'd say bring the entire cast back, bring everyone back and have it just be a TV show where he goes to Auror training and that's what it is.
I honestly don't think that that's out of the realm of possibility for where we're at in the world now. I mean, the fact that, like, we talked about it recently, but, like, all this, like, I never thought Tobey Maguire would ever be back as Spider-Man ever, even potentially. And now it's like, it's probably going to happen. So it's like with Harry Potter, like, I guarantee that this is real and that they want this to happen. And them saying that they don't have it in the plans or, like, they're not actually doing it, it's like, that's all licensing stuff where right now they don't have the rights to their own shit because they licensed them out. But I bet that once Warner has Harry Potter back, immediately a show's formally announced and 100% kicking, and I think that they're definitely going to try to get the original cast, Greg Miller.
I'm sorry, explain that to me again. You said they licensed out the rights. What happened? Where?
Just in the pre-Stream Wars times where, you know, different, I'm blanking on the terms right now, but the distribution versus production companies, like they would take it and then license out the rights to to want to play Harry Potter on TNT or whatever.
I got
so
you.
Right
okay,
now,
okay.
HBO Max so Warner doesn't own the rights to it, but they
this
will.
This is similar to like how when Disney Plus launched and then Avengers or whatever, certain MCU movies were on Netflix and then they had to wait for that deal to expire. Now they're not on Netflix. They're only on Disney.
Similar. Yeah, they're it's not about ownership. It's more about licensing, right? So if you've licensed it out to AMC for the next year or whatever, then you got to wait for that term to go over until you can fold it back in, which Disney was really smart about doing, eventually getting everything back in. That would be unbelievable. And I would 100% be on board with that because it would be basically be like, listen, HBO, if you're listening to me, Warner Brothers, if you're listening to me, look at the success that they've had with Cobra Kai. So clearly you can bring back all the actors regardless of age and still tell an amazing story and still get me incredibly hyped for it. Make it happen.
Mm-hmm. I'm with you, Nick. It's not, I mean, not a huge Harry Potter fan at all, but like, I wouldn't be interested in necessary. I mean, I guess I would give anything a shot, but I'd be way more interested if it was post Harry Potter and it was new stories going forward and where they went and what happened to them. And even if it's their kids or whatever, something like that. And then if it was, I'd prefer to see the movie cast obviously continue and their, you know, ongoing adventures, or even if it was the kids, right, then just updates on. You get a Daniel Radcliffe,
cameo here and there. Yeah, but that's exactly. Pretty much it. Yeah, that's actually, that's, I mean, so that's what they did similar with the play that came out, the Cursed Child, I want to say what it was. Cursed Child, yeah. It revolves around their kids going to Hogwarts, and that was amazing. So that's obviously another angle they could do.
That's the whole thing, too, is like ever since that thing, that play hit, right, we've talked about it of like, when are they going to do that as a movie? Clearly, they need to do that as a movie. Maybe they do that here.
And they probably could. They probably could do it as a movie and then spin that off into like a show, you know, with the same actors if they're smart about it. But I think that's a wonderful way to do it, because then you can seed it in similar to how, you know, Star Wars and Marvel are doing, where you're getting some of the actors back, or rather some of the facial reconstructions of some of the actors back, and you're peppering that in, but it doesn't rely necessarily on them 100%. Really smart.
The possibility for cliffhangers in this show. I'm just thinking about like, going from episode to episode, and they're, you know, I don't know why, Kevin, my mind immediately goes to Walter White hitting the two gangbangers that were about to like fight with Jesse when Jesse was like, fuck this, I'm gonna go kill him. Then he runs into him with his car, and you're like, what the fuck? And he looks at Jesse's like, run, and the episode fucking ends. Like, oh, I'm just thinking of like the possibilities of a cool spell being casted, and you know that shit shouldn't be casted on these grounds. You know that shit's illegal. Fucking, you know, that's one thing that the Harry Potter universe is missing. Cool cliffhangers. And I'm here to bring it to you guys.
I'm with you, Andy. I'd love that.
I'm in the boardroom right now.
Love it. You're doing a great job. Tim, what do you want?
I mean, I am not a big Harry Potter person, and I feel like that what you guys are describing could potentially make me a bigger Harry Potter person, because I do think that it could be interesting and cool if it was taken a little bit more seriously and, you know, a little more like adult edged. But yeah, I don't know. It's interesting, because I feel like whatever route they end up actually taking is not going to be speaking to me. And, you know, I do think that we have to bring up the fact that with everyone having their feelings towards J.K. Rowling right now, it's like,
right. That was going to get there next.
What are the chances for this thing's success? And it's like, I guess what I would like to see is a firm kind of taking of the franchise away from her, essentially.
And that's the biggest problem with this, right? Is like this, we've seen it so much in the video game world with the Harry Potter video game they're working on, right? What is it called? Hogwarts Legacy. Is that right, Andy? Anybody want to grab it for me? Somebody please Google Hogwarts video game and let me know the name of it. From you, Andy, Tim, somebody. But like, that's been the biggest thing right now we see is, you know, every time that game comes up or when it got announced, there was such a wince from
Legacy,
Hogwarts Legacy. Thank you very much. Still got everybody. So smart. Such a wince from the audience. And I say audience because I'm not a Harry Potter person, right? Such the fan base. I think even Barrett, and I don't want to put words in his mouth, but I think he tweeted the same thing I saw a lot of people tweet, right? Of like, I love Harry Potter and they've meant a lot to me, but I can't support this game because J.K. Rowling's a transphobe. And like to your point, even the article here from the Hollywood Reporter, as it goes on, right, it's talking about the fact that like expanding the world of Harry Potter remains top notch. Always, creator J.K. Rowling controls the rights to the property, right? Like everything comes back to her. The Harry Potter franchise has complicated rights issues. Rowling controls the franchise and has a say in everything involving the property, right? So it's that thing where even for the video game part of it, right, the argument for somebody who wants to support it is like, well, I want, obviously the developers working on this, there's hundreds if not thousands of them depending on how big the team and what support WB's using and third partying it, right? Like there's hundreds of people working on this video game that are probably good people that are working, you know, their asses off to make this game happen, have been for years. And that was the other big part of it, right? Like they've been working on this for so long, can you support them? And even if what I think they've said too, that like she has like little to nothing to do with this, she's still getting revenue from it. It's still earning her money and still being a part of that. And that's been the push and pull of it, right? Of like, how do you do that? And I think, you know, as we saw, Hogwarts Legacy got announced. It had been rumored forever, got announced it was going to be a 2021 game. And then, you know, this very month when we got back to work, they delayed it to 2022. And as I said on the show, I'm not even trying to start shit, like, you know what I mean? But I don't make video games and I don't know much about them and yada, yada. I thought it was an interesting thing to announce in the very beginning of January that it was getting delayed that to next year when there wasn't a hard date on it. And I wonder, even if it's 10%, there is a percent, maybe 2%, whatever. There's a percent of that decision that is, yeah, clearly we need more time with the game, and hopefully this will calm down.
Let's get some distance.
This won't be such a hot button issue, because right now we can't, like, they saw it there announced of like, here's the game. It's the game you've always won. Everybody's like, yeah, we do, but she fucking sucks. What do we do about that? Yeah, and even here for the Harry Potter series, we're having this conversation, and we are, you guys are more entertainment driven than I am. You're still at least a year, if not way more than that, from seeing this actually happen on HBO Max, right?
Yeah, I mean, J.K. Rowling's bound to say something again next month, and then the month after that, the month after that. Like, I don't think any distance will be put between the creator and, you know, her awful statements, and then and also her loves her work that everybody loves. I don't know, man. I think it's, in this case, I think it's possible to acknowledge how wrong she is, and it becomes so difficult because you know that your money is going to her, and that's like, are you going to make that stand? Do you love Harry Potter enough to still get it? And while acknowledging how problematic it can be, it's such a fucking hard thing to talk about and even think about. It's hurting my head already, dude.
Yeah, the sad thing also is like, the heartbreaking thing is that if you've read the books, the source material really is like the most special stuff. And so what I would want out of this is for her to write more books and then have them turn those into the series, because no disrespect to the team that worked on the Fantastic Beasts franchise, but I think that it suffers a little bit from not having those well thought out books from J.K. Rowling. I know she wrote the script and I know she was a story consultant on them, but I just don't feel like those just always felt sort of like, for lack of a better term, like we have to keep the franchise going as opposed to a labor of love, like I think the first seven books were. And so I would want her to be as involved with it as humanly possible. In a perfect world, it's the J.K. Rowling from right after the seventh book launched, you know, a year into it, where people were asking her like, hey, is Dumbledore gay? And she's just straight up like, yeah, he is, right? That's the J.K. Rowling where I'm like, yeah, that's awesome. Like, you're not afraid to say that the character is different. You're not afraid to kind of champion that. But then, you know, I'll admit I'm not as up to speed on some of the stuff she said about trans people as I probably should be. But I just know that out of the few things that I did read, I'm like, oh, you know, that's an interesting take. Not a good one, but yeah I would want.
Right? Yeah, it's not.
Yeah, it just feels like it's part of her, from what I've read, is talking about wanting to have the conversation and how difficult it is to have the conversation. And then some of the things that I read, I was just like, I don't know if that's something that necessarily needs to be a part of the conversation. But
it's just one of those things where every hardcore Harry Potter fan is just like, shut the fuck up. Just
stop ruining it. Well, it's interesting though, because she has her opinion on that stuff. And it sucks because you don't want your creators to weigh in on things like that and be on the opposite side of you. It's very difficult to see the material. It goes back to the old argument we've always had, right? How do you support a creator that's done some weird shit, right? The Michael Jackson's always
separate
the
art from the artist.
Yeah, exactly. How do you do that? And this is smack dab in the middle of this, right? Michael Jackson's one that always keeps coming up, where it's like, you know, you've either seen or anecdotally heard about the stuff that popped up in that documentary. It's pretty damning, right? But then when Halloween comes around and Thriller comes on, you're like, ah. Like, can I like this? Am I allowed to like this song? This song is just the fucking ultimate slap. So yeah, I don't know. I mean, to me, I'm very glad to have had the experience that I had with Harry Potter, reading the books as they came out and then enjoying the movies. But now it's just
not having it tarnished.
Yeah, I mean, there is a little bit of a, it's unfortunate because now it's shrouded in the controversy and it's forever going to be there. It's like, it's the same hesitation I have when I bring up things like Lethal Weapon, where I'm like, I love Lethal Weapon. Everyone's like, well, Mel Gibson's fucking horrible. I'm like, I don't know how to rectify this in my brain, right? I don't know how to rectify that he did this thing and apologized for it, but still it was like, it's a thing that he did, you know? You can't, it's going to be a dark shadow over him forever. And it's the same with J.K. Rowling. But, you know, I do think there are other people that can come in and step in and tell good stories there. But it just sucks because I don't think anyone's of her caliber with this particular material.
I think they can be easily, though. I feel like we're so far from that, where it's like she did the original books and all that, and they were as special as they were to so many people. But they are now special to people that grew up with it, that I truly believe can come up with something that is new and more of the times and tell an amazing story that isn't a cash grab, that isn't a, oh, here's Fantastic Beasts because we have to keep the movies going. And that's what I would want to see from this, is get her out totally and allow what people I want to make Harry Potter what it is and was to so many people again, because otherwise it's simply not going to be. It will forever be tarnished, and there is just no getting away from it, where even the fans are going to be upset with it.
It's tough though, because like you look at another franchise like that, where like Star Wars, George Lucas getting divorced from Star Wars, I never thought was going to be necessarily the end of the heart of what Star Wars was. It turns out there was a lot more complexities to that than I could ever possibly have foreseen. But with Harry Potter, it's just different, because it is so synonymous with J.K. Rowling. It's so just a window into her soul.
But now that's hurting it, right? Like, I wouldn't be surprised if part of the game...
Oh, sorry, go ahead, Greg.
Part of the game being, you know, delayed or whatever and pushed that far out that early, if there were already conversations happening about trying to buy the rights from her for an obscene amount of money, of course, because obviously she's making an obscene amount of money for it. But
yeah,
as she continues to tank her own, you know, thing, to have fucking Daniel Radcliffe and Emma Watson come out and make statements distancing themselves from her. You know what I mean? Like,
what? Yeah, I don't know. We should probably look up exactly what she said, because I don't want to misspeak. But
Nick, it would be impossible.
Yeah,
there's so many different things. Yeah. I know she wrote the essay. I read that essay that she wrote, and I was like, ugh.
Rather than focus on the bad, I always like to focus on the good. I'll read Daniel Radcliffe's statement. All right. This is from the TrevorProject.org, a site and organization everyone should support. I realize that certain press outlets will probably want to paint this as infighting between J.K. Rowling and myself, but that is really not what this is about, nor is it what's important right now. While Joe is unquestionably responsible for the course of my life has taken, my life has taken. As someone who has been honored to work with and continues to contribute to the Trevor Project for the last decade, and just as a human being, I feel compelled to say something at this moment. Transgender women are women. Any statement to the contrary erases the identity and dignity of transgender people and goes against all advice given by professional healthcare associations who have far more expertise on the subject matter than either Joe or I. According to the Trevor Project, 78% of transgender and non-binary youth reported being the subject of discrimination due to their gender identity. It's clear that we need to do more to support transgender and non-binary people, not invalidate their identities, and not cause them further harm. I am still learning how to be a better ally. So if you want to join me in learning more about transgender and non-binary identities, check out the Trevor Project's Guide to Being an Ally to Transgender and Non-Binary Youth. It's an introductory educational resource that covers a wide range of topics, including the differences between sex and gender, and shares best practices on how to support transgender and non-binary people. To all the people who now feel their experience with the books has been tarnished or diminished, I am deeply sorry for the pain these comments have caused you. I really hope that you don't entirely lose what was valuable in these stories to you. If these books taught you that love is the strongest force in the universe, capable of overcoming anything, if they taught you that strength is found in diversity and that dogmatic ideas of pureness lead to the oppression of vulnerable groups, if you believe that a particular character is trans, non-binary, or gender fluid, or that they are gay or bisexual, if you found anything in these stories that resonated with you and helped you at any time in your life, then that is between you and the book you read, and it is sacred. And in my opinion, nobody can touch that. It means to you what it means to you, and I hope that these comments will not taint that too much. Love always, Dan.
Yeah, it's tough though, because really what it comes down to is you're putting money in the pocket of someone that you just fundamentally disagree with.
And this is the struggle we've talked about so many times, whether it's, you know, Chick-fil-A or whether it is this in a bigger sense, and how does that all shake out, where does it go? And I do think that WB, Warner Brothers in general, is clearly not turning a blind eye to this. They understand this is happening. It's being shoved in their face. It's in every comment section. I have not had time to be on Twitter today since this is broken, but I'm sure it's the same conversation we saw around the game of like, oh God, like I would have been all about this. But in light of all this, like, they know that. And I do think that I could easily see them figuring out a way to drive a dump truck full of money to her house to be like, shh, just go away. You don't need to be a part of this anymore. Like, just give us Harry Potter and just fuck off.
Yeah. Does that solve the problem though? I don't know.
I think so much. Could, like, yeah.
I'm just saying, like, so much of it is just so, but you guys are like, not, I don't know. This is no disrespect to YouTube, but you're not the hardest of hardcore Harry Potter fans.
Right? Oh, 100%. Yeah, so, no, I don't take it.
It's so difficult to divorce my feelings about the book from the author of the book. And like, to me, that's why I've just basically, I don't think about Harry Potter anymore. It's not like something that I look for. I think, to me, it's done. To me, it's like, we've had those stories, we had those moments. The creator is now deciding to fight this fight online, and it's you know, it's not good. So for me, I'm like, this is just something that I'm just not going to engage with anymore. Like you talk about the games, I'm like, I just don't even want
done with Harry Potter is what you're saying.
For the most part, yeah. I mean, I'm not you know, the smartest person in the world, obviously. Like if they were to do this and the general sentiment was like, hey, you know, we're starting afresh and there's good stories being told, maybe I'll come back to the series eventually. But to be fair, honestly, like it's one of those things where like it's this, but it's also the Fantastic Beasts series just doesn't speak to me and what they're doing with the franchise in general. I'm just like, I don't need these stories. These stories that you're telling are just not, they're not deep enough. They're not intricate enough for me. But, Cursed Child was, I think, a step forward, but they haven't done anything really to that vein.
Also, big Kev Dog, I know you're a big Harry Potter fan. You've been trying to get in off the bench. I'm sorry. It's hard when we can't see you. What's up?
No, it's okay. I was just going to say, like, I feel like Cursed Child was made a while back now, right? It was Fantastic Beasts was made after that. And I just feel like you're saying that, like, you know, Harry Potter is a lot of J.K. Rowling.
J.K. Rowling,
she, like, was a big part of the Fantastic Beasts series. And I feel like those have proven that, like, whatever the magic was there, it's just not there as much anymore.
Well, like, yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Without a doubt, those movies, like, neither of them are good. And, like, the fact that the last one has been delayed, well, there was going to be five, and now it seems like there might only be three.
The series has been slightly marred with people with bad takes and also potential abusers. And so, like, the whole Johnny Depp shit was not great franchise.
That didn't make the movie, but, like, that's not why the movie performed poorly. The movie performed poorly because, like, the story is just really not great. I honestly think that, like, this Harry Potter franchise being in other people's hands would be way better for it in every way.
Potentially, and that's the thing. But to me, like when I think of more Harry Potter, I guess what I'm hinting at, and one of the reasons why I'm really disappointed with where the series is, just, you know, socially right now, is that I do think, like, in a perfect world, if J.K. Rowling had just never had a Twitter account and was not sharing any of these opinions, or if her opinion were different, right? She writes more books, they make those into things, because I think those are where Harry Potter shines. Harry Potter should be written first, and then it should go out into the world as whatever next medium is. But I think it's most powerful with the written word. Whereas right now, again, yeah, sure. Like, obviously Marvel has proved to us that multiple people can tell different stories in a great universe and tell amazing things. So there's nothing to say that they can't bring in some great story writers. I will say, however, Warner Brothers' track record with big universes like that just isn't great. And so I don't trust them like I trust Marvel. Mm-hmm. And I don't, you know, sure. I don't see a Harry Potter show getting knocked out of the park with the people that brought us the DCEU. I just don't think that's going to be the case.
But I also don't see a Harry Potter show with J.K. Rowling knocking out of the park, you know, like with the
No. Like, again, yeah, I'm not saying bring back J.K. Rowling by any stretch of the imagination. Like I think that's just not going to work. It's untenable at this point, given her, you know, trending toward being what she's doing right now.
Like, even like aside from that, like ignoring that aspect of stuff, like with the way those movies have gone, and we've gotten two of them, it's just they're not like worth. I don't know. I really didn't find anything in those movies that I enjoyed.
I will say first off that there are definitely transgender people out there that still support J.K. Rowling. And what I say to you is, don't let her take your happiness from you. Don't let her take away, you know, something that's near and dear to your heart. It's hard to you got to assume how betrayed you felt by that. Like, that's such a hard thing to happen to you. Don't let her take that shit from you, all right? A lot of people were involved in these movies. Not everybody read the books. Some people got into it thanks to the movies. A lot of people were involved in these projects. It's not just her. Don't let her take that happiness away from you. But there's also a part of me that's like, if you want to keep I don't know. It'd be one thing if J.K. Rowling was on the brink of being bankrupt and almost being like Milo Yiannopoulos, like super broke, on the verge of just dying out from the public eye. And then this show happened. It's like, oh, she's going to get rich again. Dude, she's a multi-fucking millionaire. Like,
she might be a billionaire at this point.
It sucks to have that sort of defeatist attitude towards it, because she's still rich. She's still going to be insanely fucking rich. And I don't know, man. It just seems like it just sucks that she's sort of taking away a big piece of people's lives because of her feelings.
It's just, I mean, I guess that's my point, right? Is that it's just so weird, because You have someone who I would have thought dead to rights was a progressive, was like a true progressive, especially in her writing and especially with her, you know, putting in characters specifically that were meant to represent the gay community. And I know they're not the same, right? For sure. But it's just so weird to me that this is.
You mean,
this is
somebody who already showed that they wanted to support marginalized groups.
Right. Okay, yes. Thank you. And thank you for putting it that way. And it's just so, this kind of came out of left field for me when all this stuff started dropping. And I'll admit that I've been sort of like, as a personal note, it's difficult for me to read. You know, I'm looking at some of the tweets right now and difficult for me to read these because it's just like, it's shocking to me. It sounds like someone's taken over her account, you know? Mm-hmm. It's just,
yeah, I mean,
it's heartbreaking. It's unfortunate.
Earlier you said it was like, oh, I wish she never had like a social presence, but she has had done a lot of good with it. Like she was very like much on Twitter and would reach out to people and you know, and it's just like there was a turn that where, you know, a topic came up and where everyone realized like, oh, that's not a great view. And then she like kind of doubled down on that. And, you know, it's
heartbreaking. It's no good way. I'm looking at tweets right here.
She keeps doubling down. She keeps doubling down.
Here we are. Yeah. It's like, we're so far from it. It's not like this is she said something one time or whatever. It's like, no, she believes this. And
yeah,
it's a thing. There aren't opinions here. There aren't sides to this.
This wasn't a misunderstanding.
She's wrong. Like what she's saying is incorrect. It is wrong. It is treating human beings incorrectly. And that is just, that's where we're at. So it's like, until that tune changes, it's just like, and it should have a long time ago, but it's like, no, man, like Harry Potter's going to be forever tainted with that stuff, regardless of whether she's still part of it or not. But I do think the only real chance it has at success for future generations is getting it in the hands of people that truly care about the IP and want to make it, to create a new legacy for it that can be potentially as special as the original stuff for a new generation of people. Because Harry Potter, in the same way Nick brought up earlier about Marvel stuff, but it's just like Spider-Man, Batman, like all these superhero characters across the different DC, you know what I mean? Like they have been reinvented. They've changed so many different times and every generation has their Spider-Man. Every generation can have their Harry Potter, whether it's a reboot or whether it's just continuing the story in the world with a whole new cast of characters at a different time or whatever, but they totally can do it. And I think that I obviously don't care about Harry Potter, but I do care very much about things like Star Wars. And it's like, at this point, any like George Lucas is so fucking far from Star Wars. And like, I know it has questionable output as of late, but it's also undeniable. There's been some really fucking awesome things since George Lucas has been a part of Star Wars. Debatably some of its best content since then. So, and also, he made a lot of trash, too. Just like the prequels are so comparable to the Fantastic Beast stuff.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
Prequel sucked.
Yeah.
but he's not a transphobe.
And then there's that, right?
But, he's also not on Twitter, so we don't know. We don't know for sure.
Yeah, but it's like, the thing is, like, she's out there saying this stuff, constantly fighting the fight for it. It's not just like, oh, she's on social media and happened to say a couple bad things. Like, she's constantly getting in the way of this
stuff.
Yeah,
no, you always hope
that there's just like, oh, because that's what I thought. The first time this popped up, I thought, maybe it's just like a misunderstanding, you know, signals got crossed. Maybe that's not what
you
meant.
Give him benefit of the doubt.
And then another tweet, and then another tweet, and then an interview, and then another tweet. It's like, fucking hell, man. You're
this
awful.
New fucking book thing that's happening.
You're awful. Yeah.
The artist and art conversation thing is always super interesting, but it's like, at some point, it changes from like looking back at the art that you loved them for back before the bad things. You know, it's like I look at Kanye, and it's just like, I will always love his first four albums. But that love for them gets tainted over time, even though they mean so much to me. It's like, sure, his newer stuff, I'm just like, God damn it, dude. Like, how can you be saying and doing the things that you're saying and fucking doing? But that used to not change how I looked at College Dropout. It does now, because it hits a point where it's like, you are a bad person. And it's hard for me to even go back and look at these other things because it's impossible to take that lens out. And that's okay. And that goes back to the Michael Jackson thing, too. It's like, Michael Jackson's not putting out new projects that we're supporting. And if he were, you know, like that would be a more similar conversation, I think, to the J.K. Rowling stuff. But I don't know. It is unfortunate.
One question with Kanye, like how much is he actually like, does he suffer from mental illness? Because I know that
he's
like,
bipolar. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's
so bipolar, like how much does that come into play? You know, where it's God. Yeah. I feel like that's such a difficult thing to like, because being bipolar is like, it's such a horrible
very difficult. And from all accounts and from Kanye's account as well, like when he's like, he the issues that I've seen from him that crop up when he gets in, like when he starts getting into trouble, is when he goes off of his medication. But he goes off his medication because he doesn't like how he feels on the medication. That is such a complex and horrible thing to deal with, that I have a lot of sympathy for Kanye, and I have a lot of sympathy for the family. But you know, it sucks too, because obviously you have an incredibly creative person, but you have to make the distinction of like, how do you help someone like that, especially when the thing that does help them hurts them also? It's really, really hard. That's a tough situation for sure. Yeah.
Man, this episode really good.
I know. Wasn't expecting to go here. We started talking about our five kind favorite liquids, and now we're talking about the end of Harry Potter. I mean, I guess that's who we are, man. I'm not like, I don't need more Harry Potter in my life, I guess. To me, it's not that important that I would feel the need to support that at the expense of the damage that's being caused by its creator right now. So, like, I don't know. I'd rather them, Warner Brothers, move on. There's other books out there. Let's find something else. And also, to Kevin's point, Fantastic Beasts, that happened before all this stuff, and it wasn't exactly a grand slam. So maybe, I don't know, maybe this HBO show.
Yeah, I'll be fascinated to see.
I know Greg brought up Chick-fil-A thing. Like, if I tried my hardest not to go to Chick-fil-A, but when I'm in the Rio Grande Valley and I go to my parents' house, and if they ordered some, I'm going to eat it. Like, it tastes good. You know, like, I'm not that strong to not fight against that shit. Like, will I watch Harry Potter if it's on TV? We did Harry Potter in review. We knew about the transphobic stuff when we did that. Like, it's such a difficult thing to talk about and get into. I think as long as we as people keep advocating for the right thing.
You know, this is something I talked about on Gregway in November, we'll say. But somebody wrote in, was like, hey, you know, how are you guys planning on handling the game? And it's, you know, a same answer then is there. And as you see here, is like, I feel like it's a conversation, because I don't know what the right and wrong answer is. You know what I mean? Today, we'll talk about it on Games Daily tomorrow, because I saw it go through the Slack today. But like, you know, the development studio that made the Darwin Project, right, there's a whole bunch of toxic shit happening over there. And it's one of those things that I saw Mitch Dyer had tweeted and be like, hey, like, he took out a section of Rebecca Valentine's Games Industry.biz story, which was like super horrible, where it's like in the meeting room, they pitched that the female character in the game should play the guitar. And I guess one of the dude, or I think the abuser or the toxic lead of the studio, was like, oh, well, that's not realistic. Women can't play the guitar. We'll give her a ukulele. And no one in the room said, oh, what the fuck are you talking about? Any of the other guys, let alone anybody in the room, period, right? And Mitch quote tweet that section was like, this is, you know, 101 for 2021 for being a good person. Stand up to this kind of shit if you see it. And so what I'm driving at is that I'm on a thread today about that, where it is this conversation, and somebody's like, you're right, you know, and I'm, you know, shorthanding it, but basically, great point. I'm not going to support this game anymore. To which Mitch, you know, obviously our friend who, you know, made a couple Star Wars games already, immediately responds. He's like, that's not what I'm asking. That's not really the answer either. Cause again, there's, you know, it's a 30 person studio. We're talking about two of them that are really bad. That's 28 other people who are killing themselves for this. Like, I don't know if the answer is to do it. Watch what happens. Is there change? Is there, from this story, repercussions? Do they cut ties with this person? You know, it's not black and white. Just make your change here. And I feel like that's where we're at still with this story, where it's like, I get to play the sidelines. I'm sitting over here talking about a franchise I don't care about. Like, I enjoy Harry Potter fine when a new movie would come about. I don't see the Fantastic Beasts. I didn't see the most recent one. I saw the first one. Doesn't matter. What I'm saying is, this thing, especially for the game, is cool. Are you guys going to be Portkey Games and WB Games and the people making this game, are they going to be able to say, hey, yeah, that's abhorrent. Everything she just said is not what we're fucking about.
They already didn't. And like, that's the problem, is like, if I had to bet on why this game got delayed, it's not to distance from her being bad right now, because that's going to continue to happen. I think it's because a lot of devs at the studio are like, fuck this, we're against this. They've already come out and tweeted and said as much.
Yeah.
But then for the head or whoever to put that statement out there that like really didn't address it, like, I imagine there's infighting. I imagine there's a lot of them that are just like, this sucks. Like, we need to cut ties with her. Because that's the thing, is like, we need to, there's like individuals you look at, and it's like, it's not always the case, but there has to be the context of all of this stuff. And it's like, to take this and to make it not just about the Harry Potter game, because the problem there is J.K. Rowling, specifically the person and her beliefs. Take it to Ubisoft, and it's like, yeah, Ubisoft much bigger. There's a lot of bad shit going on over there. But it's like, it's not that Ubisoft is bad. We need to identify the right people. And it's like the conversations need to be about that, about the change happening there. Mm. Whereas taking it back to Harry Potter, we know what the person is. So then when people are backing that person and backing those decisions, when those people are in a position of power, that's when it gets real bad. And that's when it turns to, well, okay, well, the head of Portkey or whatever is like siding with the bad side.
It becomes, it's the NBA thing, man. Like, I fucking love the NBA. I love basketball. I've watched as many games as I can. Snowback Mike hooked it up with that NBA League Pass. Love it. Love seeing my Spurs all the time. And LeBron James is out here advocating for so many incredible things, building schools for children and stuff. And then Daryl Morey, former owner of the Rockets, speaks out about the issues in China and the communist issues there and people being jailed for stuff and just all the wrongdoings in China. And then the rest of the NBA is like, let's not talk. We got a lot of like money invested over it. Like there's a lot of we get a lot of money from fans in China. So then LeBron James is quiet on that side. And it's like, I don't blame him for being quiet on that side, but like at what point do you say, hey, you should speak up about this when a lot of that money is your money, you know, like it's a difficult thing. And I'm supporting the NBA by watching the games. It's like, well, shit, like what do I get to enjoy? Cause there's wrongdoings everywhere in this fucking planet. Like, you know, like,
No, that's the struggle.
We talk about our sweat phone, our cell phones in the sweatshops. We talk about our shoes that we're getting in the sweatshop.
Oh, like, man, dude, like
there's wrongdoings all over the planet. I don't know. Like if I were to truly take a stand against everything evil, what do you do? I don't know.
Yeah,
that's the problem. Like it was, I mean, I remember like when all the Harvey Weinstein popped and stuff popped and I was like, oh man, like, do you know how many Weinstein company movie and Miramax company movies are like near and dear and beloved to my heart? And now those are just like, you have to think that the people that created those like kind of knew something was up, right? There's no way that Tarantino and Kevin Smith didn't hear like grumblings of how horrible a fucking monster he was. So it's just really, really difficult to separate all that stuff from the actual art. It's difficult for me.
Yeah, no, I totally feel that. We're going to be reviewing Baby Driver coming up soon. Kevin Spacey, Ansel Elgort, you know, like the two stars of the movie, some pretty wild accusations. Jesus. And not even just accusations. Like Ansel
What was the thing with Ansel?
We can look it up.
This was at the start of quarantine. So this was like, you know, centuries ago, obviously.
Sure.
USA
Today's headline is actor Ansel Elgort denies accusations of sexually assaulting 17-year-old girl. This is USA Today.
Jesus, Ansel.
Yeah. But also like old text messages that, you know, were screen capped and sent by the woman that was, you know, the victim, and awful stuff of what he would do to her and awful stories about
Jesus.
Yeah, it's just really, really bad shit. So that's another, I don't know. It's just hard to even talk about.
I mean, here's the thing. It is hard to talk about. And the fact that we're having those conversations constantly, it is, you know, making it all better. Nick bringing up the Weinstein thing, it's like, he's right. When we see the Weinstein logo now, it makes us feel a certain way. Like that as a concept is bad, but I mean, as a concept is good. As what it actually represents, obviously, is fucking bad. It should have never happened in the first place. But it's like, yeah, that feeling we get is representative of progress and of being, you know, made to understand like a world where the Kevin Smiths of the world in the future will call it out. And, you know, to Mitch's point, that hopefully game devs in the future will call out that type of activity because it's not acceptable. And, you know, we need to live in that world and be able to have those conversations. I think that what we need to not do is get stuck in the whataboutism of it all, of, you know, like, oh, well, they also did good, but what about that? Or also, well, why, you're a hypocrite. Why are you upset about this but not about the other thing? It's like, we can talk about each thing as a one-off case because every single thing is a one-off case. And we, you know, we can sit here and converse and have, you know, comparisons between the J.K. Rowling situation, Michael Jackson, Ansel Elgort, all this stuff. It's like every single one of those has some things that we can, you know, some similarities, but at the end of the day, we need to talk about every single one of them separately because they're not the same situations and there is no answer. This is a difficult conversation. These are bad things that are happening. And, you know, that's like Andy's point earlier about like, can we enjoy anything? It's like, The answer, unfortunately, has to be yes and no. It has to be like, of course you can enjoy things, but you have to be able to separate it. But you also need to be able to look at the parts and, you know, be able to be like, all right, well, this does suck and we need to have this conversation. But, you know, if we can't just be like, well, this one person involved with this one thing is bad, so we're writing that entire thing off forever. It's just that we can't work that way. There'd be nothing in the world, you know. But what we can do is look at that thing and talk about what we like, don't like about whatever, and then also have a conversation about the problematic nature of it all.
Yeah, I think that's the you know, I would hope our role, and when I say our, obviously I'm talking about you listening to this podcast, but I also mean us as people and human beings consuming this content and being a part of this and waiting for the next thing to happen and the next person we think is a good person not to be a good person. What the way you work with that and live with that, I think in 2021, right, as we've gone through all this, is to talk about it. It's not to turn a blind eye. It's not to sweep it under the rug. It's not to be a boys will be boys or some iteration of that in whatever we're applying it to, right? It is about addressing it and being very upfront and clear, right? That in, you know, for Harry Potter, like I, Greg Miller, and I think I speak for everybody on this podcast, do not think JK is right, right? She is making transphobic statements, you know, trans rights are human rights, like all the things you would expect us, I hope, to say. We just need to say them. You need to know that. I think, you know, when we do in review, I think at the top of it for Baby Driver, I only knew about Kevin Spacey. This is, you know, whatever. I think at the top of it, you address the fact of like elephant in the room, right? Like Kevin Spacey fucking sucks. And apparently Ansel Mait as well, or does, I should say, or whatever. I don't know this fucking story as I just learned about it. Like, right, you say that and like we've addressed it and don't fucking treat people like they're disposable objects or whatever. Be a human being, motherfucker. And then you can go and talk about that in this very specific context of what we're doing.
And hopefully maybe you can turn that negative, that massive negative, into a little bit of a positive, right? You can have that conversation. We can help people learn or see the world a little different, or at least at the very, very least, if you are in one of these groups, you feel supported. You can feel supported by that. And I think that's incredibly important. And Tim, you're right. I mean, it's tough. It is. You know, Tim always talks about case by case basis. It's true. And there's a lot of minutiae in this stuff that I think we absolutely should be talking about, specifically when it comes to these franchises that we love. But yeah, it's just, it's tough.
Cameron Kennedy does ask the question that we'll end up, and I think everybody is worried about, but he asks in the chat, how can we watch the Kinda Funny podcast and support the guys who canceled Kevin and Greg Eat a Pizza?
It's a very good
question. Don't forget they also canceled KFAF and, you know, what was that shitty show we did, Andy, where we played games a lot?
Party mode.
Yeah, we did that one.
I think you were driving to a debatable joke. I thought you were driving to a debatable joke.
No. I was trying to remember the name of it
because I've
been
trash
on stream for like 5 hours. But sorry, Andy. I love party mode. It was a great show. I'm sorry, Tim.
We're laughing and joking about this. We're not trying to minimize any of the last thing we've
done. I don't think people took that away from it. I hope if you've listened to this
just in case
journey, hour and a half in, I think you're on the same page as us. That obviously, as we've said many a time, but we'll always continue, of course, Kinda Funny is a place about respecting each other and having a good time. And what that means is that we can start a podcast talking about our top five sodas that Kevin the Prune needs to get blood for, but then also quickly transition to, hey, like, how do we support things we like, but then creators that suck, we don't want to support them. How do you do that in this ongoing conversation of what this all is?
Henry Ford, anti-Semitist.
Yeah. Fucking and also great, also dude. To clarify,
Disney too, right?
Yeah.
To clarify for me, like, I apologize to you guys for not being more up to speed on the J.K. Rowling stuff. Like,
this Ansel thing. Stuff I didn't know about either. And yeah, I didn't know his last name was Elgort. I would have said Ansel Adams, and that's an artist.
That is an artist. But, you know, but to me, I think some part of it was like, you know, I'd kind of written J.K. Rowling off a while back. So not keeping up to speed of what she's doing lately.
Well, I think, you know, I
kind of purposely being like, what the fuck, forget it. I don't want to deal with that.
See, and Jesus Christ, I don't even know how many years ago, but I wrote about this, I think, on Reset Era and somewhere else too, but like what you're talking about, right, is privilege. And I think that's something that you know, I wrestle with so much of like, I know things are bad, but that doesn't directly affect me right now, so I can put that off to the side and do whatever, because obviously everybody has a million things going on in their life, something you need to focus on. I have a laundry list of things that are affecting the Miller family right now that aren't that. So I get to go, that is bad, but I don't need to really read up on it. I don't need to worry about that. And then you get to situations like this where like, wait, what exactly is happening? And you look and you're like, oh, fuck. And like, I think, you know, obviously privilege is a bad thing, but I think it's a horrible thing when it's not addressed and when you turn a blind eye to it and when you don't, when you won't admit what you don't know. You know what I mean? How many times on these podcasts have we said something and we full stop of like, wait, that's not what I meant? Or like,
pretty much every time I say anything. Yeah.
But I think, again, like
every time I render an opinion on anything, I'm like, and then Andy goes, Nick, you don't know anything about that subject.
But again, that's the reason why this works. Right. Again, the reason this works and we have the community we have is the fact that,
of course,
it is very much a learning experience for everyone involved, not just the four people on camera, but for the entire community as we go through this and learn from each other. The amount of best friends that we have that have opened my eyes to things I would have never thought about or put it, you know, when you talk about games criticism and the different people now who are critiquing and reviewing video games who put a lens on a game I would have never, I can only know my own. And so to go through and see it through somebody else's eyes, is, you know, a very different thing and a great thing. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the end of the Kind of Funny podcast. Unless you go to patreon.com/kindoffunny, where we're going to transition over to the post show and we're going to pick up the fight of milk with savory foods. So get ready for that. That's a sequel from last time. No, don't worry about it. It's a good palate cleanser for everything we've talked about here. All right. If you didn't know, ladies and gentlemen, this Kind of Funny podcast, each and every week, actually twice a week now, four, sometimes five, best friends gather on these microphones, each coming to bullshit with each other about whatever it is they bullshit about. You like that? You go to patreon.com/kindoffunny, where you can write in to be part of the show. You can watch the show live, just like Omega Buster is, J6 is, Ashley J is, Mike L is, the Lou is, Lexi G is. Of course, you can get the show ad-free, and you can get it with the post-show, all on patreon.com/kindoffunny. However, if you have no bucks to toss our way, no big deal. youtube.com/kindoffunny, roosterteeth.com, podcast services around the globe twice a week. Worth pointing out, your next episode of the Kind of Funny podcast is recording on Thursday. I got that right. And it is the one, the only, Mike Drucker making his return to Kind of Funny. He just wrote a book about Silent Hill 2. He's coming to talk about that and hang out with us, and I'm sure bullshit on. He's like, supreme executive director or whatever now, the Samantha Bee show. I don't know. They keep adding things to his title over there. We'll see what's going on over there. So, until then, it's been our pleasure to serve you.